But what I did bring was a jigsaw puzzle. But it's a bit jumbled up. Who is that handsome fellow? Who's that? Thank you, Jemima, you can come again. Look at that. So what I wonder, it might be helpful if some of you could come. I think there might be four jigsaws here. Not just one. I think there are four slightly smaller ones. And I think the colours might help you. And if you spend ages doing it, my sermon is going to be really long. Okay? And not very interesting.
As opposed to normal, you're meant to go. And I'll go, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for your kind words to me. So, we're looking today at the fact that wherever we are, we can expect God to be on the move. They're quite big, so you might want to do one over there, one over there, one in the middle, and one at the front. It's up to you. Look at that. Yeah, it is actually quite large. So we're looking today at the fact that wherever we are, wherever our front line is, remember these red dots, we can expect, hopefully, to meet with God. One of our church values, actually, is to be expectant to meet with God. But I wonder how often we limit that expectancy to church on a Sunday morning. How often do we limit our expectancy to be, well, when we meet together, when we come together in a certain building, we can expect to meet with God. But actually, for the other hours, maybe we're not as expectant. I wonder if sometimes, actually, we limit God in our heads, maybe not even meaning to, we limit God to only working in some holy buildings, maybe a cathedral, churches, chapels, prayer rooms, things like that. And the idea that God could be at work in One Stop or Wetherspoons or at the marketplace is a lot less obvious, a lot less clearer, really. Arthur, you're being quite distracting and quite cute, but can you read the Bible over there? Thank you. There you go. So we limit God, maybe in our heads, without meaning to. But actually, when we look in the Bible, what we see is God pops up all over the place. Moses is going for a wander, and he bumps into God in a bush, doesn't he? Elijah meets God in fire on a mountain, and then runs off, and God shows up in a cave. He's not in the temple, he's not in the tabernacle, he's in those places. Peter bumps into Jesus at work. The woman at the well bumps into Jesus at the well, hence the name of the woman at the well. Maybe the equivalent of us going to Morrison's, the equivalent of us going to One Stop, and all of a sudden, Jesus is on the scene. So, you know, I don't think that God shows up in places because they're holy. I mean, we hold that in tension with the fact that there are some places where we might really sense God at work. There might be a place that you've been to where you've really sensed the presence of God. For some people, that might be going into a cathedral. For some people, it might be a special chair you have in your house that helps you to pray more. The Celtic Christians talked of thin places. I don't know if you've heard of that phrase. Places where the presence of God was maybe more tangible. But we hold that in tension, I think, with the fact that God can show up absolutely anywhere. And it's not a case that this place is holy, so God shows up. No, I think it's a place that God shows up in a random place, and he makes that place holy. So I think Wetherspoons, for example, can be every bit as holy as Lichfield Cathedral or whatever. So we move today to our reading, Genesis 28. Jacob has been a bit of a naughty boy. Him and his brother have fallen out, and he's on the run, and eventually he stops and he rests. And that's where he meets with God. Genesis 28, it says this, those amazing words. He says, surely God was in this place. And I didn't even realize it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Wouldn't it be great if wherever our front lines are this week, wherever we find ourselves, it might be at home, at work, doing the shopping, with the grandkids, whatever, we can say, wow, God's here. This is the house of God. God's here, God's doing his work, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't even notice it. And the secret to that, maybe, is the fact that Jacob rests and meets with God. He stills himself.
He stills his heart and he becomes aware of the presence with God, of God. Oh, but you might say, I'm far too busy at work to stop and be still. I've got to do lots and lots of work. Yeah, I get that. But actually, being still doesn't literally mean just stopping. That's part of it. But it's bigger than that. It's stilling our heart. So maybe I can encourage you this week, wherever your front line is, to spend just a couple of minutes, of unexpected minutes, just saying, okay, Lord, what are you up to? What are you up to in the shops? What are you up to as I'm looking after the grandchildren or chasing my kids around the house and trying to bake and clear up the mess or whatever? What are you up to while I'm watching daytime TV? What are you up to while I'm having coffee with my friends? Because if we limit God to working on a Sunday morning, we limit other people encountering the presence of Jesus. I want to encourage you to do something called intentional loitering. So luckily my pictures are nearly done, so it can remind me what I'm talking about. Intentional loitering. That's something that I try and do. Which literally means loitering about, trying to see what God's up to. Now, I'm not saying you kind of walk around like this, like people think you're a bit weird and freak people out. You know, you don't like hide behind a lamppost and see what's going on. That would probably get you arrested. Don't do that. But what I'm talking about is just spending some time having no agenda, wherever you are, and just seeing what God is up to. And I'll give you some examples of when I've done this the last few months and God has shown up. And this has nothing to do with me. I'm not this amazing apostle guy that walks around and stuff like that. It's just because I've tried to be aware of what God is up to. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So we've got one picture of me, that's right. Well, mostly me, in gratitude. Oh, I didn't print all the picture off. But you've got the important bit. You've got me looking like an angel with the halo. And I share gratitude. I know lots of you go there. But I've had some amazing conversations in the cafe with people that might see me there with my Bible open, that might just be chatting to me. I'll give you the fact that the dog collar helps. I'll give you that. But actually, most of you have lived here longer than me. And people know you. Most people know you for who you are. They'll know that you're a Christian, hopefully. And if not, tell them. We can do that, can't we? So yeah, the dog collar helps me a bit. I'll give you that. But I don't think it gets us all off the hook. So gratitude is one example of where I've been drinking coffee, and I know that the guy that runs the coffee, David, has led someone into a relationship with Jesus by chatting to him over coffee. God is outside of the buildings that we try and put him in. We've also got me at One Stop, and One Stop's my local shop. I'm sure you've got one that you go to regularly that maybe you get to know the people behind the till. And I was chatting there to the lady, and she says to me, "You were a priest, didn't you?" And I said, "Well, thank you very much." Whenever I think of the word priest, I think of Fleabag. So always a bit, you know, yeah, kind of. I'm not Catholic and I'm not all in black, but yeah, I'll give you that. And I started having a really good chat with her about the fact that she was finding life really tough and she wished she had faith and can anyone go to church? And now each time I go in, I'll say to her, "I'm praying for you, how's it going?" I haven't yet had the courage to say, "Let me pray for you now," mainly because there's always a huge queue behind me and that might be a bit, you don't want to freak people out too much straight away. But some amazing conversations just by showing up. And I could have easily said, yeah, I am a vicar, see you later. But something in me said, you know what, I'm going to pursue this conversation. Sometimes I think we get a gift of faith. God gives us a gift of faith for a particular situation, a particular circumstance. Because normally, in my own strength, I want to get home, thanks. I've got the milk, I've got the wine, I've got the chocolate. I've got something more important to do than stand in One Stop and tell someone about Jesus. If I'm honest, that's the bad bit of me. But something at that moment said, have a chat with her. And I think when we get that in our spirit, that's the Lord giving us a gift of faith to go for it. What else have we got? The market. Oh, this is a good story. So I woke up one morning, had my quiet time, and felt the Lord say to me, "I want you to go to the market, find someone in a red coat to pray for them." Can I just say, I don't like audibly hear the word, the voice of God. It wasn't like that. It was just a random thought, and I thought, maybe that's God. I'll give it a go. So I went to the market, praying really hard. I didn't see a woman in a red coat, because I'm a good Christian. And I'll confess to you, brothers and sisters, I did see a woman in a red coat, but I thought to myself, oh, that's the wrong kind of red coat. I don't think God had that kind of red coat. In my head, it was a bit longer. So I made my excuses to the Lord and walked the other way. But God thought, no, you're not getting off that easily, mate. And two storeholders saw me walking past. And one of them went to me, "Oi, are you a preacher?" I was like, "Well, I haven't got a sermon in my pocket, but I might be able to do you a few minutes," I thought. So I went over to them and said, "Well, yeah." She went, can you pray for my mate? Her poor mate was stood there like, what? But it led to a great conversation about a relationship with Jesus, not just going to church, that it was more than that. And I prayed for them and I blessed their business. And that's a great example of the fact that God was there and I was trying to actively avoid him. And yet he was still able in his infinite graciousness and goodness to speak into those people's lives. The last one, Wetherspoons. I try and write my sermon there most weeks. Unlimited coffee, so it gets the sermon writing a bit quicker. And gradually I've got to know some of the people in there, some of the regulars, and I've had some great conversations. And one week I was chatting to a lady, she was pregnant and she was a bit worried about it. And again, this gift of faith, and without knowing it, I said, oh, can I pray for you now? You know when you say something and you want to then put the words back in your mouth? That was one of those situations. And she went, yeah. So, oh, okay. And so there I am at 9:30 in the morning, laying hands on someone in Wetherspoons and praying for them. And it was a smooth pregnancy. So I share these stories with you, definitely not to say, look at me, because that's not what it's about. And I share the stories of it going wrong. There's lots more examples of it going wrong. But I share them because when we intentionally loiter, when we see what God is up to, we can turn around with Jacob and say, wow, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. Surely the Lord was in Wetherspoons. Surely the Lord was in Greg's. I'm talking from my experience during the week. Surely the Lord is in all the places that you are. Think of where you spend most of your week, where most of your red dot is. Wouldn't it be great if you could say next week, surely the Lord was at work. Surely the Lord was at school. Surely the Lord was at college. Wherever it is. And I wasn't even aware of it. So we're going to stand and sing in a minute, but let's have a moment of stillness and just maybe reflect on what God might be saying to us.